Hi, I'm Justin Lucas, and this is the Design Shift Podcast, your weekly design guide packed with actionable insights, expert interviews, and bold ideas to help designers at every level lead with clarity, influence change, and shape what's next. In this episode, I sit down with Rachel Paul, host of Creative Morning San Francisco and founder of The State of Creativity. Rachel's work sits at the intersection of storytelling, community, and culture, where she's focused on creating spaces that feel human, imperfect, and deeply connected. Keep listening to hear how Rachel thinks about designing for community as creating space for trust and real connection, why the rise of AI is making in-person experiences more meaningful, not less, and how her perspective on creativity has expanded through conversations with artists, builders, and thinkers across disciplines. We also get into what it takes to build something of your own, from letting go of doing everything alone to leaning into intuition, collaboration, and personal projects as the real drivers of what's next. And if you enjoy this episode, be sure to subscribe to the show and the Design Shift newsletter for more conversations like this. Thanks for listening. Okay. Welcome, everyone. I'm super excited to have everyone here, and I'm super excited to have this person here. And today I'm joined by my friend and often community collaborator, Rachel Paul. Rachel is the host and really the amazing organizer behind Creative Morning San Francisco. She's also a founder of State of Creativity, a platform and podcast exploring the people and ideas shaping creativity today, which is also, of course, why I have her here. Her work spans brand, storytelling, media, community building, and experience across journalism, social strategy, and independent creative production. And really, every time I think of the San Francisco creative scene and how we might bring people together, Rachel is the very, very first person I think of going to ask questions, to come with a conspiracy or something to do in San Francisco. She's the first person I go to. And really, Rachel, it's truly an honor to have you here on this podcast today.
Thanks Welcome. For having me, Justin.
Of course. So I'm going to start a little bit of a forward to backwards timeline, because we saw each other last at the Creative Mornings local event, which was at Swiss Next, super cool venue. And it dawned on me right away, and I knew this already. I knew it for a long time. I wanted to have you on this podcast. And of course, you have your own podcast. But I thought you'd be an awesome person to talk to about designing for community, not just designing community, but designing for community. Because I think that's really what you're doing. So when you think about designing for community, what are you, Rachel, actually designing? And maybe even more, what are you leaving open, or what intentionally leaving open, what space and so forth?
Yeah. Thank you for having me on this podcast, first of all.
Of course.
My first podcast that I've been on as a guest.
So all right, good. Well, you can interview me too if you feel uncomfortable with me asking you questions.
It's exciting to be on the other side of things.
But all right.
With Creative Mornings and designing for community, I really think that, like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, because I didn't fall into the role of being host of Creative Mornings. I'd been attending Creative Mornings for years in San Diego when I lived down there. And then when I moved to San Francisco, I really wanted to be a part of the chapter up here, and it was on hiatus post. So I just reached out to HQ, and around the same time, a woman named Sophie had also reached out, and we applied to be the co-hosts together. And we led the San Francisco chapter for 2 years as co-hosts. And now for the past like 8 or so months, I've been the host of the San Francisco chapter. And so it's been a lot of learning by doing, but I think in retrospect, when you look back at like my interests through time in college and beyond, like I love bringing people together. And I think I naturally design for community without necessarily that being my sought out intention.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to designing for community, I'm ultimately thinking about like how people can feel safe in the conversations that they're having. I think one thing I really value and protect with Creative Mornings specifically is that while it's such a joyful container and people often come there for like rest and connection and kind of an opportunity to let go of maybe the things in their life that are stressing them out, I like to leave the door open for all types of conversation, good and bad. And I think with that comes a really big responsibility for making sure that people feel safe and welcome in our space. And as host, I think there's a lot of responsibility in verbalizing that and letting people know that like, here's what we're going to be talking about. Like these conversations may come up and that is okay. Like we are open and accepting to all opinions and ideas. So yeah, I think when it comes to designing for community, like making people feel welcomed and accepted. I've also found that I think when I started as host like 3+ years ago, I would always get so nervous the night before because I wanted our events to just be so perfect. And naturally, being a human being, and also candidly, I'm not the most like type A person. There was imperfection that happened and mistakes were made. And I think that what I learned through that is that I think that's like what makes our events so likable. It's that human imperfection and the ability to mess up and be like, oh, that's okay. We're moving on, or we're going to pivot in this way. Because I think without imperfection, there's no space for creativity. And I think that's
Yeah. Ooh,
important.
that's big. That's really big. What it makes me think of is even just the idea of design and creativity, and this idea of what is design? What is creativity? But a set of constraints. And then how do you create within those constraints, butting up against them, sometimes breaking those constraints, sometimes learning something through a failed, I would think of it as a prototype, right? Through some, oh, that was a failure, but okay, good. Let's keep moving on and we'll learn from that. Yeah,
Exactly.
it sounds like it's a very natural place for you. You're not beating yourself up about that, or you're just learning from it in a very designy way. Is
Yeah.
that right?
Totally, totally. Trial by error and trial, like always learning and testing different iterations. And the nice thing about Creative Mornings is like, cool, we'll be back next month and we'll try something differently if we didn't like how it worked out.
That's great. I had been going to Creative Mornings really probably since the beginning. And you're right, before the pandemic, it was good, and the people who hosted were great. They did a great job, and we had a good crowd. And then pandemic happened, and then yeah, I was on hiatus, and I hadn't really thought about it too much, except to say that I have been chairing and teaching in this MBA in Design Strategy program at CCA, and I started thinking about Creative Mornings again out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden I started seeing the emails coming in and students talking about it. And I was like, hey, what is going on here? And of course I started showing up to Creative Mornings like, oh, my people, I'm back with you. We're
Yeah.
doing this creative thing, right? We're having these weird conversations and sidebars and all this really cool stuff. And to your point, it always feels safe to have those conversations, and even to say, I'm not sure I agree with whatever the person's saying on stage. Let's have this conversation. And then even the person on stage is willing to have that. So I kudos for doing that for us and
Thank
with
you.
us. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Yeah, I think that's really important in San Francisco, especially like where creatives maybe aren't necessarily the first thing people think about when you think about San
Right.
Francisco. But like, I love Creative Mornings because I've met so many other people who are designers and have similar interests as me. And yeah, it's just a cool space to have those conversations.
Yeah, agreed. Now here I am, I'm telling you, like I started showing up again. What have you learned generally about why people keep showing up and what keeps them coming back week after week, besides, or really month after month, besides free coffee and pastries and things like that?
Yeah. I think people show up because of the feelings that you get when you attend any gathering. I think that's not specific to Creative Mornings. It's like, why do I attend week over week, like other events in the city that I like attending? It's because they make me feel a certain way. I feel connected to the people around me. And I think that's like the same thing about Creative Mornings. I think that our events having consistency, key. We always try to have our events on the third Friday of the month. And then I think also the fact that Creative Mornings is on a Friday morning at 8:30 in the morning, like the people who want to be there really want to be there. And I think that creates a really unique, special kind of like electricity or magnetism to our events that stand out against a 5 p.m. mixer or something like that.
It's actually I never thought about it that way, but it's a really nice crescendo to the week, knowing that most of us are going to work Friday anyways. But in some ways, like, this is the crescendo, this is the off ramp to the work in a really creative way. And so here we get to go to Creative Mornings, see an inspirational speaker, hug each other, again, have some coffee and kind of get ready. And then we're not leaving. And oh, I have to go to this thing at 5 o'clock after work. I'm just going to go home. We get to do this first. That's really smart. So I don't know how the other chapters work, but it seems really smart the way it works here.
Yeah, they're always in the morning typically, which I think
Okay.
makes it like a lot of feedback I hear from people is, oh, I can't make it to your events because I have to drop my kids off at school, or oh, I
Sure.
have a work call or something. And
Sure.
one thing I've learned as a leader or like an organizer is that while that's unfortunate and totally out of both of our controls, like I think there is power in being able to create those boundaries and create that structure, you know?
Yeah, with all that, and you've got people coming back. One thing I'm really interested in, and we've been talking a little bit about constraints too. How do you balance structure and spontaneity in these events? They're short, right? They're at the beginning of a Friday, 8:30 to 10-ish, something like that. So how do you balance that structure and spontaneity so the experience feels alive and not programmed?
Yeah, really great question. And I think we have a couple constraints within, obviously, like from 8:30 to 10 is when our event happens. But what we do within that window is really like free flow. And what I've found is creating structure, but within the activations that we do, allowing space for individual contributions to imbue themselves and add to the experience is like a really good balance, if that makes sense. From 8:30 to 9 is when we have our breakfast and coffee and people start to attend or show up to our events, and that's really free flow, pretty mix and mingle. We do have a question of the day always that we ask people to write on their name tag when they walk in. I think that plants the seed of what's to come in the conversation and the theme of the event each month, which is always every month there's a different theme or topic. And then at 9, between 9 and 9:10, before I introduce the speaker, we're all sitting down, like in kind of a lecture style room. And I'm at the front. And one of my favorite things that we do within that window is something called a 20-second pitch, where I invite audience members to come up on stage and pitch themselves in 20 seconds or less. So maybe they have a job, maybe they're hiring, maybe they have a really fun event coming up that they want to tell our audience about. This is their opportunity to share that. And so while there is structure in within like how that activation is built, there's a lot of room for spontaneity because we're giving other people the stage, and sometimes the energy that the audience members bring is it just adds to the experience and adds to the energy in a way that like I could not have done alone. So I think that's a really great balance.
I agree. It's a great way of bringing the community into it rather than just being presented to, which many of us are there to be presented to and to take something away and feel inspired by it. But I agree. It's just as much to be there and to see this like spontaneous lineup of people, some of which you don't get to pitch because it's like there's so many
Right.
people who want to say something or be part, say something or bring people into the community. But it's really exciting to see that.
I think it also makes people feel more connected to our events. It makes them more memorable because public speaking is a really scary thing for a lot of people, and it takes a lot of courage to stand up in front of other creatives and talk about yourself or something that you're really proud of. But I think making our events feel more collective in the everybody contributes to the overall outcome of the event is really special and important. It's like a two-way street.
Yeah, I get it totally. Creative Mornings, and probably the reason for the hiatus was that it's in real life, right? We're there together in real life. In fact, the State of Creativity, your podcast, you also do in real life. I was just asking you about it. Here we are on Zoom, not really IRL. We're remote. That's just the way I do this one. But, that's not Creative Mornings or what you've been doing. So I think about it this way. We've got all this AI, we've got screens, even what we're doing now. As we continue to do that, as we continue to move into these virtual spaces and AI with virtual people and everything else, what becomes more valuable about being in the same room together as a community?
Really good question. I am such a huge proponent of IRL experiences. I think just because there's more to gain from the experiences, that's just my personal opinion. I think one of the irreplaceable things about in real life connections is trust, especially with AI like deepfakes. Anything can be generated at the click of a button online that looks and arguably like very realistic. And so you lose that sense of trust in the results because you cannot see the process, like you just experience the end result. And I think one thing that AI has highlighted to me and has I didn't even know it was as important when it comes to like art and design and just life in general is process. And watching how AI tools are evolving has really deepened my appreciation for this and has elevated the value, I think, of like human-made understanding the process in culture in general. Yeah, I think knowing the process and being in person face to face like creates just like more meaning, like especially when everything is commodified and at a click of a button, like you get exactly what you're looking for, or a passing result at least. Having understanding the process of what goes into something is really irreplaceable.
This brings up another question. Is there something then, there's meaning you mentioned, but is there something deeper that people are craving from in-person events, community gatherings, so forth, that they're not getting online, that we perhaps didn't even get during the when we were forced to be online a few years ago? What is that? What are they craving that you feel in this community?
I think vulnerability has a lot to do with it. And I think people feel really safe behind their computers, and you don't even need to leave your house to even buy groceries anymore. Like, you can just get everything delivered. It's so easy. And I think that's one thing that scares me the most about like the direction of our culture in today's world is just how easy things are, because going to an event and being in front of someone is not an easy experience. It can bring up a lot of discomfort, but I think those imperfect, like uncomfortable moments are so core to the human experience. My life is not worth living if everything comes so easy. I think working towards something and not necessarily what I present maybe won't be the person that I'm talking to's like cup of tea kind of thing. And I think that's like what adds so much color and life to our world. And that's really what I love about in-person experiences. And I think the more comfortable we become being uncomfortable, like the better we'll understand one another.
And we don't have anything to hide behind when we're all together in that same room. I hadn't even thought about it that way until you just said it, but I can totally see that. Again, it's not just us listening to someone. When I'm in a Creative Mornings event, we're actually all together in the room and sharing thoughts. And yeah, there's nothing to hide behind. We're vulnerable.
That's great.
And I think that's why, as a leader, it's so important for me to make these spaces safe for
Yeah.
that comfort, because I don't want someone to have a bad experience and never return. Like, I think creating a space where, okay, disagreement is an acceptable part of the process is like really important.
Yeah, I agree. How we have this strange time. There's always strange times, but here we are in this really interesting time where it's more important than ever, I think, for maybe someone who's starting a company or leading a company or part of another big company, and they're starting to think about, oh, how do I grow my brand, platform, whatever. If someone's building a brand or platform today, how should they think about community in this environment? How should they think about designing for community in this environment that we're in right now?
Yeah, this might be a hot take, but
Yes, I love it.
I feel like people try to build so much for the algorithm and what's going to
Yeah.
propel them forward and get the most eyes and optimize for reach. But I really think, I don't know, like you just have to let go of that and do what feels right to you, because I think at the end of the day, what's the most important thing when it comes to building? I don't know, my background's in like social media management, so like social strategy or anything building on a platform, it's consistency and showing up day after day. And I think if you're trying so hard to appease what you think the algorithm's gonna wanna see, or you know, what other people are craving, then you're less likely to be consistent in your work or show up and continue posting or sharing or hosting events.
Right.
So I think really leaning into what feels right for you is my best advice. It like I don't do Creative Mornings or my podcasts like to please anybody else. I just think that it's what I want to do, and if I lean into that, people will feel that, feel more drawn to it, hopefully, because there's like 8 billion people on this planet, so someone's gotta find interest in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Not great advice for at the end of the day, also, like in our capitalist world, you have to provide for yourself and everything. But I do think that's also fits for this example or for this piece of advice, because you just have to keep le like the more you lean into what you want to do, like I think the world or it will return the favor as well.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. I think if everyone's trying to hit the algorithm, then we're all stuck in the same algorithm. And here, maybe it's going against the flow and saying, I'm just going to be me and I'm going to be consistently me.
Yeah.
And people will either show up or they won't. And likely they're going to show up because it's something different than what they're getting from the rest of the world. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that difference is what really makes you stand out among everything else, especially with
Yeah.
AI. Like AI slop is this like universal averager, right? So AI
Yeah.
takes
Yeah.
everything that's on the internet and creates a predicted outcome of a replicated version almost of what already exists. And I do think one of the benefits of AI today is creating more space for you to be your unique self, because standing
Yeah.
out becomes that much more important.
Couldn't agree more. So let's talk now a little bit about your podcast and you going, maybe it's against the flow. I don't know. But you created the State of Creativity to explore the people and ideas shaping creativity, which is amazing, by the way. And I love this topic generally, and I love your podcast. What were you not seeing elsewhere that pushed you to start it? And I'll add on to that. Where do you hope or plan to take this? And hope is not a strategy. So where do you plan to take this, the State of Creativity?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that I was trying to fill something that I didn't see. I've wanted to start a podcast for years and years, and finally was just like, nothing's in my way besides myself. And I think I just wanted a more legitimate excuse to reach out to people I really admire, which is the basis of my podcast. It's an interview-based podcast with other creatives and artists and entrepreneurs and people I really look up to. And it's opened a lot of doors for me. I think I always try to every year plan out like what I want to bring more of into my life at the start of the year. And one of the things that I wanted to do this year was be become more of a thought leader, which is a buzzword, but just start building in public, I would say, is like my kind of MO right now. And I always have so many interesting conversations with people, and I'm like, oh my God, so many people would benefit from hearing this or being part of that conversation. I think in the future with this podcast, I just want it to become a more core part of my work. Right now, this is not something that's like generating income for me necessarily or
Sure.
has a million views after every release. But I think steady, consistent growth is something I want to continue working towards so that I can start to earn some money and monetize it a bit. And then
Yeah.
also just continue to connect with people who inspire me, because even like being on a podcast or speaking at an event is a really valuable experience and something I want to have more of.
Yeah. I feel I see it also, and I'm hearing you say it. It's all it feels like it's a way of you sharing these conversations too, right? You're having these inspiring conversations anyways, and here in many respects, like Creative Morning San Francisco, let's just share it. Let's have it. Let's have everyone be able to be in this conversation, which is yeah, which is great and smart.
Totally. Thank you.
How in all these conversations, how has your definition of creativity changed? You also you mentioned talking to different kinds of creatives and designers and artists, but also entrepreneurs. So yeah, like how has it changed?
Yeah, I think the window of what is, by definition, creativity has expanded so much since I've begun realizing how everybody lives a creative life in one way or another. There's no one way to be creative or consider yourself a creative. I do find that sometimes the word creative or designer is like a means of gatekeeping in a way,
Yeah,
which
sure.
I think serves a purpose and is okay sometimes, but like everybody is creative or is a designer in some way or another. There's no one way to be creative. And so in that way, like my definition of creativity has definitely expanded. And I think creativity in general is a really amazing vehicle for self-expression, for connection, which are both things that everybody needs in
Yeah.
life.
Yeah. What in that, what patterns are emerging for you that as you've expanded this definition of creativity, what patterns are emerging that maybe people haven't fully noticed or realized yet about creativity?
What patterns are emerging right now? I think just that everybody craves connection, and I
Yeah.
think creativity, as like I kind of already said this, is just a vehicle to more connection because it's a way to share. For me, I'm so much a visual person, so being able to paint or draw is my way of sharing like my inner voice with others, and I think that's a pattern that's always existed within humankind, is just like the need to be understood. And yeah, I don't know if that's, I'm sure a lot of people have noticed that, and that's like a core part of what it means to be human. So I don't know that I have a direct answer to that right now, but I think also like with AI and technology, there's so many more opportunities and ways for people to express themselves. So like leaning into that is helpful.
Yeah, I see the same thing. Even in myself, I like you, I've always thought of myself as a creative person, but I think lots of people do. And I grew up drawing and painting and so forth. And then eventually, there's a long time ago, but 27 years ago, got into tech, and then I was coding, and then all of a sudden I saw this whole new creative side. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Create something
Totally.
from some medium that is so different than drawing. But you're right. Like I've moved away from that coding side of me 20 years ago now, and then all of a sudden with this AI, it's like, oh no, this is crazy. Like I can do this again and in new and creative ways, and that hasn't taken from my creativity. It's just added to that. Yeah, it feels good generally.
Absolutely. One thing I'll add to this that just came to mind as you were saying that is I recently started vibe coding, which
Yeah,
is like
of
such
course.
a hot thing to do right now in the tech space here in San Francisco. But One thing, like, I tech is enabling me to do something that I think as a creative person, math and science was never necessarily my strong suit. It's not something that I gravitated towards naturally, but I am finding so much creativity in a new way for me, like through coding that has enabled me to tap into bringing things to life in such a new way that is super exciting. So I think also with these new tools, you can be afraid of them or be nervous about how they're shifting the creative landscape, but I've found that just like leaning into them and playing around with them has made me feel really enabled and empowered.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. So let's just talk about Rachel. I'm looking across your work, and this is brand storytelling and community to media. I can see some of these, but I'd love to hear from you. What's the thread that connects all of it for you, Rachel Paul?
Really good question. I think authenticity is really core to the work
Yeah.
I do. It's hard to separate my personal identity to the work that I create because my work is so. I think any creative work is a result of your own identity and values. But I also think that storytelling is really core to what I do. There's no. I work in videography, podcasting, photography, but really what's core to all of that is being able to use storytelling as a vehicle to like connect people to one another. And then I think something else that is really unique to maybe the work that I produce is just this like general, I'm not a super serious person. Of course, there are really serious topics that I find important and I love talking about, but I find that a lot of my work is rather joyful and lighthearted. I think that's just a result of me not wanting to be like life is not that serious and
Yeah.
it's fun to have fun. But using joy and lightheartedness, even to talk about things that are really scary or sad or, yeah.
Yeah. I think we're probably pretty similar in that. I find myself doing the same thing, whether it's humor or something else. Yeah, there might be a serious topic and I won't make light of it, but yeah, I hear
Totally.
you in that. Yeah. Have there been things that you've had to unlearn in your life, in your career, in your sort of past career that enabled you to step into this chapter of your work?
Yeah, I think my career path is pretty unique in that I graduated like the year before the pandemic hit, and my first corporate job started in February of 2020. So,
Oh,
like,
wow.
3 weeks before
Yeah.
COVID really shifted everything. And that's what really led me to this career in freelancing. And I don't know, I've had to learn. I think I'm naturally rather entrepreneurial and scrappy as a person, but it required me to take a lot of autonomy over my career. And I started freelancing, I think, earlier than I necessarily. Is probably average. I think people go through agencies or
Yeah.
working and then they go off on their own. And I was the opposite where nobody was hiring. So I was like, I can do social media and see where that goes. And that's what launched freelancing, which has been majority of my career. So one thing that I've really had to unlearn through all of that is that not everything that I create has to be done alone or I think especially freelancing, you can feel siloed, but there's so much power in collaboration and working with other people who have their own visions to create something that neither one of us could have thought of on our own.
I couldn't agree more. I'm someone who loves to go it alone, and then maybe like you, I end up finding is like, oh no, actually, this is a perfect person to collaborate with because they're bringing something that I don't have, or right, or like I love their ideas or their energy, or all of a sudden I don't have to work this many hours a week. We can do it together. Yeah. Where do you think people should be focusing their energy over the next few years? Or maybe another way to say it is like, what do you see as the biggest opportunities for designers and creatives over the next few years?
I think one thing that tech is really enabling us, both from a societal and technical standpoint, is the ability to lean into creating the things that you want to create. Now is a perfect time to lean into personal projects, and I think focusing your energy on doing what feels best for you, because not to get existential, but there is this threat of AI
Yeah.
replacing the workforce, or I find so much strength in knowing my own capabilities and knowing that I have my own projects already in motion, and that's something that I can fully control right now, at least. And also there are the tools at my fingertips that allow me to do all of this, which I think is really awesome.
Yeah. Yes. The here I've got a lot of students that I support as part of the Design MBA program. And we have the same conversation, just as the way you're saying it. Thank you, by the way, because now you're at least validating in some way some of what I talk about with them. But there's two sides of that coin, and you just mentioned it. On one hand, yes, AI and all this stuff's coming on, and you've got this layoffs and other things and all the hyperbole. And it's certainly real, like people getting laid off. But on the other side, there's this disintermediation. On the other side, it's no better time than the present to actually create something, even while you've got a job, even while you maybe you're freelancing and everything else. Has never been a better time in history to create something for yourself. And even if it doesn't generate money now for you, it might, and you can keep doing it and building it, and perhaps it will. It's like what you and I are both doing in many respects.
Absolutely.
10 years ago, it would have been so hard to even just do what we're doing now. And all of a sudden, it's, oh no, actually, I can do this by myself or with a couple collaborators, and it's not too hard. Yeah.
Totally. I also think one thing with all these tools at our fingertips is, especially when it came to starting a podcast for me, I thought that it had to be perfect from the get-go. And I think especially with AI and hitting enter into a chat GPT or something, you get this kind of presentable end result immediately, but everything is learned over time, and my skills were not where they're at today 4 years ago or even longer. It's just something that's built up over time. So I think people get really hung up with, I want to start a personal project, or I want to start a company even, and it has to be doing XYZ in 4 weeks. You just take baby steps towards accomplishing that, and you just have to start.
Yeah, this goes all the way back around to where we started with Creative Mornings. Yeah, I think of it this way, and a lot of the people in my community know me to say this often, which is everything is a prototype, even you, right? So start with something. It may be scrappy, it may look really scrappy to you, but to someone else, perhaps it doesn't. And even if it does, they'll tell you, and you'll learn from it and keep iterating. And this is exactly what you've been doing now, really, your entire life, it sounds like, your professional life, certainly.
Definitely.
I'd love to get to a quick lightning round then with you. So, what's one book, and it could be two, it could be three. There's no real constraints here, but what's one book that you recommend to everyone, especially creatives, and why?
One book that I actually just finished reading is called The Art of Gathering by Priya Parker, and it really breaks down the intentionality between bef like for every single detail that goes into putting an event together, which I hadn't even realized that creating an event can start months beforehand with planting seeds in people's minds of how the event is going to be, and with the importance of creating structure, and maybe the importance of exclusion, or how that can open the door for more inclusivity. I don't know, it just really broadened what I thought of when it comes to gathering communities and gathering people together. So if you're interested in community building, I would definitely start with this book. It really was awesome to read. And then another book that I am due to reread, but is so core to just my values and making me the artist and creative that I am, is The Alchemist. I remember reading that book. I think I was like 18 years old or something, and it just totally expanded. It's rather spiritual, but it speaks to, it verbalizes these things that are so hard to put into words about why people do what they do when it comes to creativity and intuition. And yeah, it's a really beautiful book.
Agreed. It's really deep and ethereal. Yeah, it's definitely one of my favorites too. Yeah, good one. What's something you're personally excited to explore next?
Yeah, I'm excited and nervous because I'm moving to New York City, actually.
Oh no. Yes. Okay, is this breaking news for everyone? Are we breaking it here?
This is not breaking news. This is something that I mentioned on my podcast last month,
Okay.
but I keep telling people and I also forget
Okay.
to tell people. So for someone
Sure.
listening, it might be breaking news. I don't
All
know when
right.
this episode's going to come out. But I am planning a move to New York
Wow.
City, which is really crazy because I feel so connected and I love living here in San Francisco. But again, like I just feel like this is my one life and I've always wanted to live in New
Yeah.
York. So I gotta see what it's like.
Yeah, congratulations. That's great. And what a
Thank
cool
you.
city. We're both such different cities and yeah, excited for you. That's great. And of course, it's not breaking news. This is not that big a podcast. You'd stop. Sure. Awesome. So I'm going to wrap it up here, which is I'm going to ask two questions. One, is there anything else? We just, at least for me, you broke some new news.
I know, I'm
Is there
realizing.
anything else you want people to know about you, about what's going on with Creative Mornings or the state of
Yeah.
creativity? And number two, tell them, and then where do you want people to reach you? How would you like them to reach you generally?
Yes. Creative Morning San Francisco is every third Friday typically. And just because I am moving to New York, Creative Morning San Francisco will be here. Someone is taking it on. We're in the process of this kind of
Fantastic.
like turnover process. But yeah, if you're interested in attending a Creative Mornings event, Google Creative Mornings San Francisco. You'll find our webpage. You can sign up for our newsletter. We're also on Instagram at San Francisco underscore CM. And you can follow me personally on my Instagram, which is at Rachel N. Paul. And I'm also on LinkedIn. I post there a lot. So I would recommend connecting there as well. But yeah, I would love connecting with others. Grab coffee or a virtual coffee chat. Super open to it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rachel, for being here today, for being my guest on this, for saying yes and yes and I'm look forward to seeing you at Creative Mornings and yeah, and then perhaps seeing you off to New York City.
Thank you, Justin. I really appreciate also just how connected you are to the San Francisco community and how much of a leader you have been to me and a collaborator on Creative Mornings and everything. So I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Likewise. All right, Rachel. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Justin.
Thanks for listening to Design Shift. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a quick rating or review. It really helps more designers like you find the show, and it helps me make better shows. And if you're not already subscribed to our awesome newsletter, head over to designshift.me. See you next time.